Let's go to verse 12. Let's start at verse 12. It came to pass in those days that he went into the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. This speaking of Jesus, look at the person beside him and say, he prayed all night. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles, Simon, Peter, who's also called Peter, on down the list. Let's go to the last verse, Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot. And they could have stopped there on verse 16, but he didn't stop. He said, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was a traitor. Man, what a tag to put on your name. You can be seated. I want to talk to you just for a few minutes. You ever been betrayed? Have you ever prayed all night long? Anybody here ever been in an all night long prayer meeting? Hold your hand. All night long. The day was done, but you wasn't finished praying and prayed all night long. Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer. And when I pray, I'm not so sure that I always pray the right way. I pray for God to do things for me, for my family, for our church. And I pray for blessings and healings. And you would think that when you prayed, I mean, Jesus prays all night long. So evidently, his heart must have been heavy. Most scholars agree that as you read these scriptures in order, that he was praying about who he would choose to be his disciples. It makes sense, doesn't it? Because as soon as he's done praying, he comes down and he picks out of the disciples that he had 12 that he would call apostles. So he picks these 12, and no doubt as he's praying about that. I want to know which ones to pick. And after praying all night long, spending all that time in prayer, he still picks a traitor. And you would think that when he's praying that God would somehow protect him from the traitor, would somehow find a way to keep the traitor out of the choosing, to make sure to guide him away from Judas Iscariot. But instead, the prayer meeting produces Judas. That's who he picks. Now, I know what your Bible readers are thinking. You're saying, yeah, he was chosen to do that part. We know that. We know that Judas was chosen, that he was chosen to be the son of perdition. There's a couple Bible readers that know. And when you read that, you say, well, that's why Judas was chosen. But Jesus is praying, and I would think that when I pray, that God would protect me from people like Judas. Wouldn't you? I mean, you pray for health. How many people pray for health? You pray for salvation. You pray for the salvation of your loved ones. You pray for blessing. There's a lot of things that we pray for, and we pray for those things to work out for our good. But I think sometimes we may look at prayer the wrong way. It's not the purpose of prayer to give our divine manipulation, let me get that out, of God. We're not trying to manipulate him, but what we do when we pray is, Sam, it should be bringing us into a place where we come in alignment with the will of God. Excuse me. So when you pray and you make your list, that's part of prayer. You should make your needs known to God. You should petition him, and you should intercede. All of those things are right. But sometimes in the plan of God, when we pray, God leads us to things that aren't so conducive or blessings to our flesh, but they are good for our spirit. Because the one part of you that God is most concerned about is not your flesh. Your flesh will pass away. The miracle of Lazarus was amazing. Lazarus died and Jesus resurrected him. But because Lazarus was flesh, guess what happened to Lazarus again? Lazarus died. And because Lazarus died, the reason was because he was flesh. So the miracle came and the miracle was gone. So we pray a lot, let's be honest, for things that bless our flesh. Can you say amen? Lord, I need a new car. God, I need a new house. God, I need a new friend. God, well, give me a new, Tracy, give me a new husband. We pray for a lot of things that can be blessing to our flesh. But the one thing that God is concerned about more than anything is our spirit. Because it's in our spirit we find the will of God for our life, not in our flesh. So sometimes when we pray, we may be praying the wrong way. After an all-night prayer meeting, you would think that he would be protected from picking a traitor. But after the prayer meeting, I believe that Jesus knew exactly who he was picking when he picked Judas. So what happened is the flesh had to come under submission to the spirit and understand, I don't really want this traitor, but because he's going to be good for the purpose of the kingdom, then I'm going to go through with it. So what prayer does sometimes is gets us in alignment with the will of God. Let me prove it again. Jesus, our prime example, goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he goes a little farther, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And Jesus is praying until his sweat becomes as great drops of blood. He's under stress. And he's praying, Thomas, and he makes this statement. And I'm so glad this statement is in the Bible. He says, let this cup pass from me. This is Jesus, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is Jesus, the very Son of God. And he's asking if this can be passed by. I don't want to partake of this. There's going to be things in your life that God has laid out for you that you don't want to be part of your life. But Jesus, our prime example, doesn't stop with that, Sam. He goes on to say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I want to tell you, the best way to pray is this. God, here's what I need. But if it's up to you and your will is different, I want to come in alignment with your will. Because we think praying is giving God our grocery list and he's the cosmic pizza boy, and if we don't give it in 30 minutes and less, we get it for free. And that's not how this works. God has a will for your life. Is it safe for me to pray, God, save my wayward children? Yes. How do I know that? Because it's not God's will that any should perish. So when I'm praying, I am praying according to the will of God. Jesus is a healer. Is it okay for me to pray, God, heal my brother and show your power and reveal your greatness so that you're glorified? That's okay because I'm praying to the will that lines up with the will of God. What I got to be careful of is, God, I need you to do this for me to make my life easier. And God say, it's not about making your life easy. It's about making your spirit more sanctified, more, oh, do you hear me? Where you can be used of him. This is why we get frustrated in our prayer life. Let me say that again. We get aggravated when we pray and we don't see any results. Raise your hand, guilty. You say, God, do it and do it quick. God, save him and make it fast. God, do this real fast, real quick. And the whole time, God's got a plan. Sometimes God holds out because he's doing a work in you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I'm telling you, sometimes waiting makes me weak. Sometimes waiting is the game that gets me the most aggravated. Oh, some of y'all, I know you. You pull in a drive-thru and there's too many people. It's a drive-thru, people. I know why they had me pull up out here, because they got this little counter in there, and I'm telling you, it makes it look like they serve me, and they ain't serve me. I ain't pulling up. I know some of y'all, you ain't got any patience at all. You can't wait on anything. But he said, they that wait upon the Lord. Now, you're in this season, and you're praying. Am I talking to anybody? And you've been waiting for God to do it. Hold on. Because in your prayer, what prayer does, and I love what one brother put it like, he said, prayer doesn't always get my petition answered, but what prayer does do is grounds me in the will of God. And when I get grounded and my heart gets grounded in the will of God, it doesn't have to come to fruition the way I want to see it come to fruition. But I do know this, because I've been in communication with God. No matter how this works out, God, I'm okay with it, because I know you care about me. Oh, I hope we get this. God, here's what I need you to do. I need you to do this. Have a confession. I've been preaching since I was young, and I preach things that, I mean, I really believe them. I'm really careful about what I say. And when I get too out of line, Tracy straightens me out when we get home. You'll notice I used to say this all the time. I say, man, that's good preaching even if I am doing it. I don't say that as much anymore because... She said, Damon, I know you're joking, but people that don't know you think you're arrogant. Like, this is good, and even if I am doing it, this is great. She said, stop. So I tried to quit. Behind every good man, there is a surprise mother-in-law. No, good woman. So you got to be really careful. And I was preaching, and I made this statement. I said, you know what? Bad things happen to good people. It doesn't mean you're not saved. It doesn't mean God doesn't like you. It means you live in the world. So we're at work yesterday. First of all, we had to work yesterday. I was already aggravated. And then half the crew couldn't show up, so it left a minimal crew. And then one guy had to leave at noon. So when he left, I had to do my job and his job. Thanks for deserting me, Ian. And this really happened. And I caught myself. I jump out. I'm getting ready to drill a hole. And I'm drilling this hole. And man, this bit catches on a rock. And it twists me up. Man, I mean, it hurt. It hurt so bad. I said, oh, God, do you even love me? I was like, you could have headed that all off. You could have moved the rock. You could have made me have more sense. You could have made everybody show up. Why wouldn't we have to be the one to do it? And they could have hurt their wrist. I really said these words. God, do you even love me? Those came out of my mouth. Oh, are y'all laughing because this has happened with y'all too? You know what? Christians get flat tires. They really do. Christians have water leaks in their house. He said, that's of the devil. Every time I have a plumbing problem, I go into Pretty's. I don't go to Lowe's. I go to Pretty's as much as I can because of Randy. Randy, here's what I need. He'll have it laid on the counter. I'll just call him up. This dude is awesome. But I don't care how good he is and how good I am. You know what I say when I get ready to leave? I'll see you in a minute. Because I know whatever we came up with, it's not going to be enough. But I'm questioning the love of God because of pain, and we do that sometimes. Let me talk to you for a minute. You think because you're going through a trial that somehow God's upset with you? That's not how this works. How this works is God has a plan for you. And sometimes it takes suffering to realize that plan. Sometimes it takes a trial so that we can see Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He's choosing the 12. He prayed all night long. This wasn't a 5-minute prayer. This wasn't one of your prayers where you say, somebody comes up to you and they say, hey, listen, I got this need. Will you pray for me? And you go, yeah, I'll pray for you. And you say, God, whatever it is, move on it. It wasn't that kind of prayer. You're guilty of that too. I can see it in your eyes. So at least consciously you say, I prayed for him. This was an all-night prayer meeting. All night long. And the next day, he picks Judas. You're still going to get Judas's after prayer. Let me say it again. You're still going to get things in your life that aren't fans of you, that aren't cheering for you, even though you pray. But what prayer does do is ground you to the will of God to this point. When those things come your way, you're ready because you've been in prayer. Oh, this is good. When you pray, we got a lot to pray about, don't we? We've been praying. We've been praying together. We've been praying at the same time. When we pray and we don't see results, what do? People have told me, they've said, well, if you pray about it one time and you don't pray and you keep praying about it, that's unbelief. Well, I can't help it. Because when I pray about it once, I just keep knocking. And you know what I do the next day? I start knocking again. Because I read a story in the Bible that went like this. There was this judge, and he didn't regard God or man. But there was this woman that kept coming to him. And because of her importunity, because of her persistence, he gave her what she was asking for. So because I haven't seen it, let me say it like this. Men ought to pray and not faint. So I think prayer has a direct connection to not fainting. Meaning there are things in this life that are going to make you want to give up and throw in the towel. Can I get an amen? I'm here to tell you there's something you can do to counteract that fainting, and it's called prayer. Because when I pray, I'm getting into alignment with the will of God. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. How many people are glad to be here today? Raise your hand. How many people had a real good time in the service so far? How many people know it's hot in here and you're willing to bear it because you just know it's going to be good service? Let me tell you what happened. One day God laid it on my heart to begin pastoring. And you know what I did? I fought with it for years. Years. Ask Brother David Richardson. I would call him up sometimes and say, hey, let's ride around and look at buildings. Don't tell Tracy. She would look at me with the most love she could muster up and say, I don't want to be a pastor's wife. And I was a little scared. Man, when God lays something on your heart and you start praying, you got to pray to get in alignment with the will of God. Can I mean pastors across the nation have to pray to do what they do? It wasn't prayer that got me started. It's prayer that keeps me going. Because I promise, just like you, there are times when I want to throw in the towel and I say this, we'll find a little country church down in the woods somewhere and we'll go sit in there on a Sunday and we'll pay our tithes there and we'll pat the preacher on the back and say, see you next week. And man, that sounds good until I figure out what the will of God is. And that's not the will of God. That may be my will, but that's not his will. So what makes me not faint is prayer. So what's going to help you not faint? Prayer. Because the truth is, you want to quit sometimes too. You prayed for your lost children so much, you want to strangle them. And you say, I don't know what's wrong with them. Yes, you do. It's the devil. I don't know why they don't see it. Yeah, you do. They're blinded by the god of this world. I don't know what in the world's wrong with them. Yes, you do. They're lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. But watch this. You got a weapon, and that weapon is prayer. And you come in alignment with the power of an almighty God, and you yield yourself to that, and God will do something. All right, I got to hurry. That's the introduction. 1 John 3:21. I like you, John. 1 John 3:21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Are we there? Help me out, Shane. Jacob, get me there. We got to see this. 1 John 3:21. I'll read it to you. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Listen, if our heart condemn us not, we have confidence toward God. I thought that'd go different. Let me try it over here. Now y'all can see it. If our heart condemns us not, we have confidence toward God. If you got confidence toward God, there's something that can happen when you and him begin to carry on a conversation. The problem is the enemy's trying to get you to not be confident in your God, and he's basing it on your performance, and he's basing it on what you're doing. And I'm here to tell you, we got to base this on what God's doing and come in alignment with it. Y'all know my story. Y'all know it so well. But for you people that are new, I want to share this with you. I had a Ford Focus. I drove it down the road, and the front end was out of alignment. You know what happens when it's out of alignment? It pulls one way or the other. And I drove to Charlotte, North Carolina. I drove to Richmond, Virginia. And every time I let go of the wheel, I'd go, whoo. You know what I kept telling myself? I need to get this thing aligned. But every day I was off, you know what I wanted to do? Not get that thing aligned. So you know what I did? I just held to the left. And then one day I had enough. And I got it aligned. And the guy said, hey, man. You're going to have to rotate your tires. They're wore because where it was out of alignment. See, when you're out of alignment, it pulls you off the right track. And things start getting wore out prematurely because you are out of alignment. And so he rotated my tires. He said, I can't do a normal rotation because they're so messed up. So I'm just going to take your front one straight back and your back one straight front. Straight up. Forward. See, what I mean, who cares? So I'm going down the road, and I'm in alignment. It's not pulling one way or the other. But you know what it's doing? I'm like, man, I'm in alignment. It's still riding rough. I went back. I said, hey, man, I know you aligned this thing, but this thing's bouncy now. He said, the problem is the way those tires were worn. He said, it's going to take them a minute to get back in the right groove. He said, just keep driving it, man. He said, and it's going to get better. You know what the problem with some of us? We've been out of alignment for so long that we hear the word of God and we get back in alignment and we think it's going to be smooth as soon as we get back in alignment. That ain't always true. Sometimes it's going to get rough, but let me preach to you. Keep driving, man. Keep driving. Don't faint. Don't give up. Keep moving forward. Zach, I got some things I'm praying for. God ain't answered them yet. I'm still going forward. He gave him talents, Gary, and he said this, occupy until I come. He went away and he says, I'm coming back. He said, occupy till I come. Don't bury it, multiply it. God's going to do something for you, but in the meantime, you can't faint. I've stood beside people, and they made this statement, Jeremy. They've said, you know, I prayed for God to do this, and he didn't do it, so I turned my back on him. Anybody ever heard that statement? I prayed for God to heal him. He's a healer. He didn't do it. So I don't have any confidence in that God. Let me tell you something right now. Just because he didn't do it the way you wanted to do it doesn't mean that God wasn't working it out for good. And that's easy to say when you're on the outside of the situation. But when you're in it and you've been talking to him, you got this confidence that it doesn't matter what comes your way, everything's going to be all right. Why? Because you got your confidence in God. I got one more verse. Hebrews 5 and 7. No. Yeah. Oh, there's so much good stuff in that other verse. Okay, go. Hebrews 5 and 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, he was heard in that he feared. Listen to this. He was heard in that he feared. Anybody know what that means? It means submitted. It means submitted. It doesn't mean he was praying and going. It means that he feared. In reverence, he submitted. Listen to what I'm saying. It didn't say he was heard because he cried. Though he did cry with strong tears. He was heard in that he feared. He submitted. Listen to me really closely. He submitted his life to the plan of God, so he was heard. Some people have sought repentance with many tears and not found it. But when you submit to the plan of God, then when you pray, you are in alignment with the will of God, and he hears you. Because you are submitted. Being a Christian is not about trying harder. It's about submission and surrendering more. So when you pray and you don't get an answer, what do? Keep praying. Keep praying. What are you praying for? What have you been praying for? What have you been praying for? You know what you've been praying for. Some of you are like, nothing. Well, then I got a problem with you too, and we need to talk. You need to be praying. Why do you need to be praying? Because that is you talking to God. I love it. Years ago, Dustin preached, and it was a long time ago. It's the only good thing he ever said. If you talk to your best friend as much as you talk to God, would they be your best friend? Let me ask a lady, because guys don't care. Women, y'all are weird. I cannot see somebody for months and months and months and run into them like, hey, what's up, dog? What's going on? How you doing? Where you working at now? Oh, down there in East Gulf. Or, you know, they'll say something. Down in the Affinity, underneath that hole. Boy, top's bad. And you just hit it off like you never... Women, I ain't heard from her in months. Or what her problem is. Guess she's mad at me. See, y'all, you know what? Amen. Give me five, I'm telling the truth. I don't know what in the world I did to her, but I text her and she didn't text me back. You know what happens when I text somebody and they don't text me back? A guy, I say, hey, stupid. I text them again. If I really want to hear from them, I say, question mark. Women are like, well, she can't text me. She can forget it. If you talk to your best friend as much as you talk to God, would they be your best friend? Don't answer that. It's a good question. It's a really good question. How often do we talk to God? Come on, musicians. Said in the days of his flesh, there's a whole sermon in that. I don't have time to preach it. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. Whew, that is so powerful. And was heard in that he feared. He submitted. He submitted. He submitted. Let me tell you what's going to make our prayer life more powerful. is when we submit to the will of God. Let me try it like this. Let me tell you what's going to make our prayer life more effective. When we stop sinning and start praying. A sinning man will stop praying. A praying man will stop sinning. They clap first. I'm over here now. Man, God's got a will for us. He's got a plan for us. You know what we need to do? We need to pray for it. We need to pray for it. God, you don't love me. This drill twisted up. No, that's just what happens when you leave it on drill and you don't put the release on it. Goofy. What if God ever just looks at us and says, he's so goofy. You think he does, Eddie? You think ever God ever just looks at us and says, man, that guy's goofy. He has to, don't he? God's got a sense of humor, don't you think? He made you. What are we going to do in our prayer life? Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. I haven't seen him move yet. Don't stop praying. Don't faint. It's prayer that gives you that power to keep going. I like his side over here. I'm kidding. I like y'all too. Don't stop praying, Darren. Zach, don't stop praying. Karen, don't stop praying. Kim, don't stop praying. Marion, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying, Cindy. Don't stop praying. You don't have to wait. Prayer don't need a stage. Prayer don't need a certain type of dress code. You don't have to be dressed up to pray. Prayer don't need an invitation. And it don't have to be eloquent. Oh God, as you incline your ear into my cry, I come before you right now and place my sword in the sands of time. You don't have to pray like that. Sometimes you can just say, Jesus, help me. Sometimes all you gotta say is, Jesus, help me. Sometimes you don't even have to say, help me. Sometimes all you got to do is say, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I love calling your name because sometimes that's all I need. Let's stand to our feet so I can get you out of here. We've already had prayer. But if God laid it on your heart to come up and get prayer and you didn't listen, check this out. This is awesome. Bonus time for you. Eric's going to have surgery this week, right? This week. He's getting a prayer cloth for his surgery. How many people help us pray? Men ought to pray and not faint. As an act of faith, would you point your hand this way? God, we're asking you, Lord, to move in a way that only you can. Come on, church, help me pray. Help me pray. Help me pray.